Thank you, everyone, for being here. My name is Elizabeth Bromley. I'm going to talk today on changing trends of mental health disorders among veterans treated in the Veterans Health Administration between the years 2007 and 2013. So I'm presenting today on behalf of my research team, led by Marcy Hunt at NEPIC. I'm a research psychiatrist at the West LA VA in the MIRAC, and also an assistant professor at UCLA. Another member of our research team, Gary Cuddyback, is here in the front. The data we present today are the author's own, and they don't reflect the views of the VHA, the Department of Veterans Affairs of the United States government. So I'm going to be talking today really about three groups. So we need to think about the Veterans Health Administration, which is just one arm of the VA, which also includes the Veterans Benefits Administration and the Veterans Cemeteries Administration. So a veteran, of course, is a person who served in the active military, naval, or air service and who was discharged or released from service. Then there's also the VHA population of veterans, and those are veterans, of course, who obtain health care services from the Veterans Health Administration. So this is a subset of all veterans, and that's because veterans can use their own independent insurance in lieu of receiving care at the Veterans Health Administration, or they can do both. So the current study is examining those veterans who received care from the VHA between the years of 2007 and 2013. So the context for these years is fairly important. First, there was an increase and then a decrease in military staffing over the years that we're examining. You see that here. This is the number of active duty military veterans. And the decreases began toward the end of the time we're observing here. This is important because as people leave active duty, they may then move to get their care from the VHA. Sorry. back. This is what I want to show you. So the increased number of veterans includes more than just those from military staffing decreases. Veterans returning from active duty still make up less than half of the VA patient population. Older veterans, primarily Vietnam and post-Vietnam era veterans, are increasingly using VA health care as they age into Medicare years. In addition to the increase in the total number of veterans in the period we examined, a growing proportion of veterans are receiving care at the VA. For example, in 2007, there were over 4 million veterans, almost 5 million veterans, about 21% of the total veterans who received VHA care. This number rose to 5.5 million, almost 27% of total veterans in 2013. So we wanted to understand more about how these numbers have impacted the VHA service system, and particularly the service system for mental health, and potentially also the service system for mental health outside of the VA. So to get a picture of changing rates of mental health disorders among veterans, we've examined administrative data for mental health programs. Most of the mental health programs in the VA submit program evaluation data, and we wanted to examine the program evaluation data to look at changes in diagnostic trends provided by providers at the time of mental health visits. So this is just a chart to show you the rates from the study period of 2007 to 2013, a view of the change in the prevalence of mental health and substance use diagnosis among veterans. So again, this is program evaluation data, and that means that at the time of a visit with the veteran, the provider will enter a diagnosis. So the biggest population here, the overall VA population, the VHA population, and then the proportion of the VHA population with a mental health diagnosis. So although overall the veteran population was declining, in the period we examined, there was a 15% increase in the VHA population between 2007 and 2013. However, during the same period, there was a 38% increase in the VHA population who had a mental health or substance use diagnosis in one or more of the categories that we examined. So the diagnostic categories we looked at in program evaluation data are listed here, and examine these 8 common mental health diagnoses: psychotic disorders, PTSD, bipolar disorders, depression, anxiety disorders, adjustment disorders, acute alcohol and drug abuse, and alcohol and drug dependence. These diagnoses, again, are given at the time of the visit with the provider, and this means that any single veteran may have multiple diagnoses from a given year, depending upon the number of times that veteran is seen by a provider in that year. So what this means is that we needed to develop a decision algorithm to assign to a veteran a primary mental health diagnosis. So we totaled up the number of diagnoses given to the veteran in the year, and whichever was most frequent was assigned to that veteran as a primary diagnosis. In the cases of a tie, we based a decision hierarchy on the severity of the diagnosis and defaulted to a diagnosis that seemed to be more chronic or more debilitating. So we put at the top of our hierarchy a psychotic disorder, presumed to be most severe, followed by bipolar disorder, PTSD, major depression, anxiety, and adjustment disorders. And among the substance use disorders, drug and alcohol dependence were presumed to be more severe than acute drug and alcohol use, and any substance use disorder was considered secondary to a mental health disorder. So again, this hierarchy only came into play if there was a tie in the number of diagnoses given to a particular veteran in a year. So for instance, if we have a veteran who has 50 visits in a year with a mental health diagnosis, 35 of those visits the veteran is given a diagnosis of bipolar disorder, and 15 visits the veteran was given a diagnosis of a psychotic disorder, that veteran would be assigned a primary diagnosis of bipolar disorder because that was the most frequent. However, if this veteran had 50 visits, 25 of which were for bipolar disorder, 25 of which were for psychotic disorder, the veteran was given a primary diagnosis of a psychotic disorder because it was presumed to be the most severe. So there was a small number of veterans for whom this problem of the ties of the number of times a diagnosis was given in the year came up. For the most part, there was a most frequent and most prevalent diagnosis, and that was assigned as primary. So in 2007, the largest diagnostic group among those with any behavioral health diagnosis was major depression, followed by PTSD, anxiety disorders, drug and alcohol dependence, psychotic disorders, acute drug and alcohol abuse, bipolar disorder, and adjustment disorder. So the percentage here in 2007 is 30.4 for PTSD, 23 for an anxiety disorder, 14% for drug and alcohol dependence, 8% for psychotic disorder, 8% acute drug and alcohol abuse, 6.5% bipolar disorder, 5.8% and adjustment disorder down here at 3.8%. Now, over the course of our examination of the data to 2013, the order of proportions of these disorders did not change. In 2013, depression was still proportionally the largest diagnostic group, and adjustment disorder was proportionally the smallest diagnostic group. Of note, and I can say more about this later, the proportion of psychotic disorders here of 7.9% in 2007 is still substantially higher than the latest data from SAMHSA on rates of psychotic disorder in the general population, which are more around 4%. So this chart shows the change in the percent growth of disorders across the study period from 2007 to 2013. 13. So despite that these diagnoses remained relatively stable in terms of their proportional prevalence within the VHA population, there were increases in the percent of diagnostic categories between 2007 and 2013. The largest growth was observed among the number of veterans diagnosed with PTSD, where we observed a 71% increase from 2007 to 2013. Next in order of largest to smallest increase during our study period was a 61% increase in the number of veterans diagnosed with an adjustment disorder, a 34% increase in the number of veterans diagnosed with depression, a 28% increase in the number of veterans diagnosed with anxiety disorder, a 23% increase in the number of veterans diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and an 8% increase in the number of veterans diagnosed with psychotic disorders. We also saw increases in the percent of veterans diagnosed with substance abuse disorders, both a 26% increase in the number of veterans diagnosed with acute drug and alcohol abuse, and an 18% increase in the number of veterans diagnosed with drug and alcohol dependence. We don't have the numbers represented on this graph, but we also tended to see an increase in the number of dually diagnosed veterans who had both a substance use disorder and another mental health disorder during the study period. So in conclusion, all the diagnostic categories that we examined showed growth in the VHA population over the study period from 2007 to 2013. PTSD and major depressive disorder showed the highest rates of growth, but substance abuse diagnoses and dual diagnoses also increased over the study period. And these VHA rates are substantially higher than seen in the general U.S. population. Of course, estimates from SAMHSA recently show the overall prevalence rates of mental illness among U.S. adults around 19 or 20% over the study period, whereas we see behavioral health disorder prevalence among veterans who use VHA services more around a prevalence between 27 and 33%, 27% in 2007 and 33% in 2013 was the prevalence rate that we identified. So there's several limitations to these findings, the first of which is that we're not able to differentially attribute the increase in the prevalence of these mental disorders to various possible causes. So the first, of course, is a true increase in the prevalence of mental health disorders among veterans receiving services in the VHA. Another possibility is that there's an increasing likelihood for a new veteran with a mental health disorder to present as a new patient in the VHA system over this study period. A third possibility is an increasing rate of mental disorders among established VHA patients as they age. And then also there's the possibility that these numbers represent increases in recognition and ascertainment of various diagnoses by VHA clinicians over the study period. So it is the case that VHA has made substantial changes to addressing increased needs by working toward increasing access to mental health services for veterans who receive services in the VHA, increasing awareness of trauma-informed services and the symptoms of PTSD, increasing suicide screening and other services to address high suicide risk, and better integrated inpatient and outpatient mental health treatments, including those outside of the VHA. So our data suggests that although these increases do not directly equate to increases in need or increased gaps for veterans with mental health disorders, the findings indicate that continuing the above efforts and also increases in funding, staffing, and training may be needed to meet the growing mental health needs of veterans. Let's see it again. Thank you very much.